You have shown strength.
Hallelujah.
Lord, in our inability to love, you have loved us. And we thank you because your love is greater than life. Thank you for the many brethren that are here this morning to fellowship around thy word. May you, O God, speak thy truth.
Yes, Lord.
That there will be true healing from the innermost part of us. And that the light, oh, that you have shone, that same light, because it is not another light,
yes,
that will continue to gender, Lord, until the day star appear unto us.
Amen.
Lord, bless thy word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Amen.
Put to thank the Lord for each and every one of us. For your going in, God bless you. For your testimony, it's very touching. At a point, I felt like crying. And I said, well, thank the Lord. Because if you don't feel it sometimes, you don't know it.
Yes.
That's the thing about trials. And there is no trial that is simple. That you are not passing through that. And you say, oh, hers is better. Mine is more difficult. It's not so.
Mm-hmm.
Like the testimony of our sister. And the vision she saw a cross. She said the cross was her own size, according just her height, her size. That's how it is. God can never give to any of us that which is heavier than we can carry.
Amen.
He weighs us first before
yes.
allowing the trials to knock. And that we see in Psalm 76, he said, in verse 9 and 10, he said, the wrath of man surely shall praise thee, but the remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain.
Mm-hmm.
Means that God will not allow you to suffer more than you can bear.
Right.
But he's also watching, because he is faithful. you watch our attitude.
Right.
Because we, by the way we behave, we kind of speak to his face that he is not faithful.
Right.
Because he gave you all it takes. Mm-hmm. He's giving you. And he wants you to just reciprocate. Amen.
Amen.
That faith. And then that's when we dull down and we start hearing voices and opinions and we are drifting. But we thank the Lord. He's also going to come back and rescue each and every one of us.
Amen.
I pray that this service is a very special one. And a lot of recovery, a lot of healing, a lot of lifting up from out of the miry clay that the Lord is doing. And I pray that if there be any that is passing through something and has not been able to make it out, the Lord is going to lift you out in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I will still sing a song. Today is my last service here for this year. Let me just sing. Just a song I wanted to sing. Just humming it while we were coming down here from home with Brother Henry and Sister Joyce. It says, The Potter's House. Some of you may know this song, but I'm going to sing it just myself. In case you are fallen by the wayside of life, dreams and visions shattered, you're broken inside. You don't have to stay in the place that you are in. The Potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the Potter wants to put you back together again. You are broken. Stop by the Potter's House. You who need mending, stop by the Potter's House. Give him the fragments of your broken life. My friends, the Potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the Potter wants to mold you back together again.
Amen.
You are broken. Stop by the Potter's House. And you need mending, brother. Say, stop by the Potter's House. Give him the fragment of your broken life. My friend, the Potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the Potter wants to mold you back together again.
Hallelujah.
Amen. May the Potter mold us back. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank the Lord. Let me take my scripture from John chapter 6. I just want to read one verse out of there. That should be verse 12, I believe. Still talking about commandments, because we want to pick something this morning. John chapter 6 and verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Mark chapter 8. I'd like to read from verse 14 to 21. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaving of the Pharisees and of the leaving of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying,
It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do you not remember when I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? And the Lord bless the reading of his word. I want to speak to us, gathering up the fragments. Amen? And I'm going to continue from where we did stop last week. We are taking a closer look at that which this message actually came to point us to. Amen.
Amen.
Or the consolation that those who follow the direction of Christ through the message that God sent to his servant William Brown, the consolation that they should receive. Amen. If we look at the ministry of John the Baptist, when he came preparing the way of the Lord. Now the way of the Lord was not a physical way in terms of maybe the road, the mountains, as you were hearing him saying, every mountain will be brought low, the valley will be exalted, the crooked way will be made straight. He came to prepare the way of the Lord.
Amen.
And that was clearly shown to us in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's look at it one more time. Even if we know it, we still need to look at it. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. Now let us take a look at this scripture one more time, if we put our eyes again on it. You see how many messengers you find there. Behold, I send my messenger. And that messenger is John.
Yes.
Amen. And he shall prepare the way. There are no two ways but Jesus. Because he said, I am the way. Now, this way must be prepared for the Lord to indwell the way.
Right.
Amen. Because light travels, or light dwells in the way. Light does not stay in a place. So he said, to prepare the way before me. So the great eternal spirit will indwell through that way. And the Lord whom ye seek suddenly shall come into his temple. Still talking about the bodily temple of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Even the messenger of the covenant. When that eternal spirit condescend into that body, that particular messenger, which is the body messenger, becomes the messenger of the covenant.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's no longer John.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because John had prepared the way, had taken these people up to the point where they can meet the messenger of the covenant. So,
right.
John does not have a covenant to give. He does not have a covenant to strike with the people.
Right.
So, but he is a messenger. But he takes this message straight and lead the people straight to that messenger, and the messenger of the covenant strikes the covenant with the people that can never be broken.
Right.
Amen. And finally says, behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
Then we find the Lord Jesus in his ministry. You see that God is always pointing further. Amen. He never comes to a stop. He is always pointing further. The Lord Jesus, when he came and was ministering to his apostles, because those were the core people that he was talking to. Yes, he had a lot of things to do with the multitude. He had a lot of things to do with the Pharisees, the religious people of his day. But he gave his word specially to the apostles. Because every time he preached, he preached those messages twice. Which means that the ones that he told the multitude was not enough. It was just to sustain them. But the ones that they will come back and they will ask him, what about this, what about that you said? And he will take time to break down what the multitude never heard. And yet there will be many among those multitudes that will run off with what they have heard, and they will stand strong boasting, thinking that they have heard. Do you get what I'm saying? For example, the parable of the tares in the field. He told that parable, but the multitude never heard the interpretation. He told the parable, the multitude, then everyone went home and talked about it in his own way, and they just could say what he has said. They could believe the way he has said it, that yes, he's talking about that. Some would say he was talking about literal planting. He was talking about literal this. He was talking about spiritual this. But he called those men of his inside. The Bible says, and when he had sent away the multitude, they asked him without hesitation. He started to unveil. This is this. This is this. This one is the other one. He put it in a clear picture. Because these were men that will teach others. Praise the Lord. He has not changed. Praise the Lord. But Jesus, in his teachings to these apostles, he was actually pointing something. There was something to come, and that was the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost was the down payment that the people should receive. And once that Holy Ghost comes, there will be no other program than that Holy Ghost sealing us unto the day of redemption. Amen. Praise the Lord. So whatever happens within this time, between when the Holy Ghost is given and the day of redemption, that is what we call this period of the grace age, the mystery of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, where God is going to send messengers, seven messengers, unto his bride, one after the other, to call them in these ages. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But the key program is that from Pentecost unto the day of redemption, the program is locked. That is what Jesus was preaching to his people, and that is what he prepared them for. So we're going to look at it carefully. One of the things I want us to see today, I was discussing with a brother, and over the years, there have been some arguments. Like when the messenger came and he spoke, if that messenger is like the one who sent him, if he speaks the mind of the one who sent him, then the word of the one who sent him is the same, in the sense that it will take people up and it will also bring them down. Mm-hmm. The way that the word of God wants you to handle it is the way of the spirit, not the way of your understanding or the way of the majority. Amen. The Pharisees were there, the Sadducees were there, they were two opposite groups. Never can agree. Because if they could agree, they would merge in one. But the moment they found someone who came like the Lord Jesus came, when he came preaching, and he was not subject to their traditions, they died by coming together. They accepted to put their differences down just to destroy this lone voice.
Right. And God
has never been with the majority.
Amen.
He has never been. He has never been with the majority. So there are seven things we're going to look into today, and we're going to look, if we don't finish in this first service, we're going to continue in the second service, that also that the thunders, these thunders, praise the Lord, is one of the major program that we are waiting for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Look at it. John was waiting for Jesus. And the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples. They were waiting for the Holy Ghost to come at Pentecost. And the Pentecost had come, and the apostles spoke. And God sent messengers with the Holy Ghost and gave the Holy Ghost to those who believe. But the Holy Ghost is only a down payment. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is only a down payment that must hold you until the day of redemption. So yourself, as you are seated here, you are a revelation in yourself, because you are sealed, you are covered, you are protected until the day of redemption.
Amen.
Are we together? Praise the Lord. So, it is the same light that travels. The same light, just like the sunlight. The same light, the same sunlight that rose in the morning yesterday, went down in the evening, it woke up this morning, and it's going to go down this evening. Same. It won't change. So the way and manner that the sunlight will be handled will be the same. If you handle it any other way, then there's a problem. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, so let's turn our Bibles to that particular scripture in Mark chapter 8. And we look at something. Jesus reminded his apostles of the feeding of the multitudes. Now, if we take our minds back, the first feeding, I'll not go in details, just to tell you the character of the different kinds of believers that always come around the Word of God. So the first feeding, the Lord Jesus moved away from the city, moved away from little towns, and was in the wilderness on the mountain. And when he looked, multitudes came. They abandoned the city, they abandoned the little towns, and they came unto him. He prayed for them, healed them, spoke the word of God to them. Then he decided to feed them. And then he said to the first man, Philip, let us feed these people. And Philip, immediately, the first thing that comes in his mind was money. Amen. Now, but in measuring money, he kind of brought out the limitation of what money could do. He said, even if we have 200 pennyworths of bread, what will it do among these multitudes? So that the word of God, the work of God, is not pushed by money.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So somebody will say, the Lord called me, I'm able to get a place, and I'm able to gather people. If the word of God is not by that. We don't gather unto that. Now, the second thing that you notice is that he spoke to another person. And that was Andrew. Andrew came up and said, there is a lad here. He tried to build faith. There is a lad here with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. But what is that? So when already you are on the pedestal of faith, then with your own confession, you bring that down. So it is not about the material things. What you have, what you need. For example, if you have headache, you have head pain, for example, you already know that either you should rest or you should take a pill. But a believer will tend to talk to the Lord about it.
Right.
He wants to be part of whatever concerns you. Because he
you have said, according to Galatians chapter 2, that it is no longer you that lives, but he lives through you. Allow him feel the infirmity with you. And he's not saying don't take the pill. Neither is saying don't rest. But put him first. The consciousness of letting know, oh Lord, I feel this. The consciousness. Until that relationship gets so knitted together that you just discuss freely with him when regards to anything. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, watch this. He said, there are only 5 loaves of bread here and 2 fish. But what is that? So, trying to build up faith and then slams it down again. Finally, the third part of the disciples, theirs was very straight and direct. Send them away. Amen.
Right.
Let's stop this discussion. Send them away. And if you look at it, we have these three classes of people. Uh-huh. How they approach things. People come, for example, if they don't actually know what to look for. Like in Africa, you know, people want to attend meetings because there are a lot of people there. Mm-hmm. Yes, so that and I help them by saying so that they can hide their sins. Amen. And others want to say, what is the makeup? What are those components that we need to, whether we can see that is attractive? And others will say, no, there is no need. I am good even if I don't fellowship. Amen. You have people tell you that? Say, no, I don't go to church, but I am a good person.
Yes.
Amen. We can say that. The angels will clap for you. Because that has its limitation. It is never the perfect way. So, watch something now. Jesus asked them to sit the people down. And the miracle came. Without money, with what is available, with thanksgiving, with appreciation. He appreciated the Father for what was available. Whatever you appreciate God for will increase. Amen. If you have dreams and you repeatedly have dreams and they tend to be spiritual dreams, tell spiritual people. If you share your dreams with carnal people, you will also lose that gift. Because the more they talk down about your gifts, you will lose it. That is true. If you have whatever you have and you walk around places that are not appreciated, you are going to lose them, because they're going to make it. Even Jesus said, do not put the word onto swines. Don't put it to pigs.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So let it go to the place that is needed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus appreciated the Father, and the increase came, and the people were fed. But the shocking thing came after the feeding. Remember, it was in the wilderness, far from little towns, far from villages, far from the main city. He said, gather up the fragments. Amen. I'm sure those of you that are closing your eyes, you're not seeing visions. Because if you are seeing visions, that vision is against me now. Amen. Gather up the fragments. Now, let us look at it together, brethren. Just this crowd of people, so hungry for the past 3-4 days, and they got bread, and they begin to eat the bread. What will be the size of the crumbs you think will fall from the hands of very hungry people? I think there will be pieces. To be very insignificant, to look very insignificant in the eyes. And this is in the wilderness. What is Jesus looking for with the fragments? Now, it's just a pointer. God is giving us a pattern, some kind of pattern, to know that this word of God
that we have. When you, maybe as I come now to preach, this message is recorded. Some persons may not get everything at this very point, at this sitting. Maybe somebody after 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, one time just play this tape again, will begin to have a refreshment of something he or she never heard. Or maybe understand in a sense, in a way that it's clearer to that person, maybe concerning the situation he or she is going through.
Right.
Amen. So Jesus said, pick up the fragments and let nothing be lost. Now in the wilderness. And they did. They had to, you know, picking the fragments will need a lot of care because it is the master's command and it must come to pass. So they did pick the fragments and gathered it. You know what? You are gathered, whatever you gather are things that are not easily seen. There are things that are not arranged. You gather things that are not in, that are not arranged. So they gathered them and kept them. And the Bible says they took stock. It was 7 baskets. In the second one, the first was 12 baskets. Praise the Lord. Now, those fragments, if the bread that they ate was the word of God, then the fragments are the pieces of the word of God, which is part of the word that is needed. And the Lord Jesus said, gather them up because it is needed. Hallelujah. So if those fragments are needed, then nobody should come around and tell you that is not important. That this does not have anything to do with your salvation. We have denominational people speak like that. When we tell them, oh, about the serpent seed, they say, oh, that's what your prophet said. It's not important about salvation. What can they add about? But that is salvation. There is no part, no small part of the word of God. There is no insignificant part of the word of God. Don't tell me. If you don't know, then you just lock yourself up because you don't know. But if you care to know, find out to know.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pick up the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to look at some fragments this morning. I want to stay, keep you for another 30 minutes or so. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. One of the fragment area I'd like us to see. The silent translation. Because we are looking at the rapture. We can't be talking about the thunders without talking about the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
The silent translation that has been. The rapture has always been a secret.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to know, look at the first rapture. And we found the man Enoch. The Bible says he was like every other person, living where he was known, had his normal activities. And when he began to walk with the Lord, the people took notice that this man walked with the Lord. He had such a dedicated life until he broke dimension and was not in this level any longer. But the Bible also stated that he was not found, which means they looked for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was not found, for he was taken. Now, the path of him being taken is known by the prophet. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Moses, who wrote, God told Moses, God told the people around in the days of Enoch, like those, like Methuselah, that your father had been taken. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. So, we find again in the days of Elijah that the prophets, the sons of the prophets, they talked about the rapture. But there was one man that was with the prophet and followed what, foot for foot, inch for inch. Amen. And that prophet, you know, as he was associating with others, they prophesied, not to him, but to Elisha. Do you know that the Lord is going to remove thy master from off thy head? Elisha said, hold your peace.
Yeah.
Why? When the messenger is around, that's the voice. There's no need for other voices. He told them, hold thy peace. So, you wait. You have nothing to say now. I am with him. So, they moved. And as they were going, Elijah said to Elisha, you wait here. Bethel is a good place. If you start a church here, you'll get a lot of eggs and fish that people are going to give to you free. Elisha said, no. Wherever you go, that's where I'm going.
Amen.
He continued. They got to Bethel, to Gilgal. From Gilgal, they got to Jericho. And when it gets to Jericho, take note of Jericho, because we're going to come back to Jericho. When it gets to Jericho, you know, Jericho was the first city that God gave to the people of Israel.
Right.
So when he got to Jericho, they found barrenness in Jericho. They found bitterness in Jericho. A miracle took place in Jericho. And all in before the eyes of the people. And now, they're going to cross. Praise the Lord. As they were preparing, something happened. Those prophets, sons of prophets in that town, they also came and told him, do you know the Lord is going to do this today? He said, hold thy peace. And here, the hour came that Elijah and Elisha crossed Jordan. When they did cross Jordan, brethren, Elijah was with his mantle. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord in that hour was walking with Elijah through his mantle. Amen. He slammed that mantle on Jordan. Jordan parted for him, and Elisha could be accommodated in that spiritual vehicle to pass through dry land. But he had requested that this be given to him. Now, Elijah could not give this robe to Elisha before the chariot will come for him. Elijah could not even promise him directly, okay, I'm going to give it to you. But he gave a condition. He gave him that promise with a condition. A promise with a condition. That promise was covered by a condition. If you will see.
Right.
So if you need to see, then you have to follow closely.
Amen.
And when they crossed, the whirlwind came. Elijah could still not give it to Elisha while they were waiting. He did not give it to him at the beginning of the takeoff. Like the old song says, the chariot will swing low and I will step him.
Right.
When the saints shall march in. When the saints are marching in. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, but because this was his ticket to fly. Amen. That mantle was his ticket to fly. If he had it, he would not do anything. So when the whirlwind came, swept him up and took him. Now, there's something I want you to understand. If you read the scripture very well, the whirlwind came and lifted up. The chariot didn't come down totally. The whirlwind came, lifted up Elijah into the chariot and took him. Then Elisha cried before Elijah could drop the mantle. Amen. But the sons of the prophets were around. Did they actually see Elijah go? They did not. Amen. The rapture again became another secret in the ministry of Elijah. They heard prophecies or revelations that he will go, but they came around, waited on the other side of the mountain. They saw Elisha and Elijah going, crossing the Jordan. But when Elisha came back, this same man came to Elisha saying to him, we will help you find Elijah. Maybe he's in some of the mountains, hidden somewhere. That tells you they did not know that the rapture has taken place. Now, in our time, there was a private rapture with the Lord Jesus Christ, the first fruit. That came with resurrection. When Jesus resurrected, he never showed himself anymore to the Pharisees, to those who argued with him. Amen.
Amen.
He spent 3.5 years and they were arguing with him every beat, every inch, every step. Praise the Lord. But when he resurrected, I feel it should have been maybe somehow, will I say, that you should take it the courtesy of visiting Caiaphas and say, Caiaphas, you know you killed me a few days ago. Didn't I tell you I'm the Son of God? It should have been more easier for them to believe. But he did not. He did not do it. Because it was a secret. Now, because what we are talking about always put us to the future. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Take note of this. In Luke chapter 17, there'll be many in this entire message who believe that the rapture, they believe the rapture exactly how the Pentecostals believe. They believe, if you are listening, that the trumpet will sound, okay? The trumpet will sound. They don't believe that the trump is a ministry. Amen. I believe that we are not so many who believe that.
Right.
Yes. They just believe because some minister said one time, he said, Brother Branham preached whatever he preached in another place. Whatever he preached in Jeffersonville, that's what we take. You see the confusion? So watch this. In Luke chapter 17, let us read from verse 33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Now, if you are from Assemblies of God, you're from Methodist, you're from the Catholic, okay, the Catholics don't believe in rapture, Seventh Day Adventists don't believe in rapture, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in rapture. Aha. If you are from any other sect, you have a background, and you did know yourself a little when you were there, you will understand that when we read this, they feel that two people will be walking side by side, the one shall be taken, and then you want to say, oh, his throat has fallen down. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the other will be left. But look at it. That's why I came directly to read this, just to keep safe time. Directly. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the cat, the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together.
Right.
Brethren, what I'm telling you this morning is that there had been a rapture, a silent rapture first, that does not have anything to do with the change of body and with the going in the sky. There is a private, silent rapture that brings you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, as you have said this morning.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Amen.
You are the one who walked with a brother, a friend. What happened? The word of God came to you, to both of you. One rejected. I can't see it that way. But the other believed and is taken. But taken, he's still seeing him. You still shake hands. You still say even the same word, shalom, praise the Lord. But the one had been taken. And the other is already left. Yet, there is no change of body. We have been translated. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness. Another word for rapture is translation. In fact, the word rapture does not exist in scripture. God spoke to Paul, spoke to the prophets. He used the word translation. He was translated. Okay, now, but look at this same word. Said, we have been translated. We have been moved from one medium to the other. You are yet in this body, but you have been raptured in a sense to come into where the body, where the carcass, where the body, where the freshly killed meat is.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 10, 11, 12. Where is my Colossians? Okay, I'm going to read this. It says, let me read from verse 12. Just directly. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now there is a translation here, but it's not a down upward translation. It is a change of kingdom. It's a change of kingdom. Two were working together. A husband and wife. Two friends. Two colleagues. The word of God came to both of them. One said, I'm not cut off for this. The other believes. And he's taken. And so the disciples ask, Lord, where are they taking to? He says, you watch. Wherever the carcass is, wherever the body, wherever the word, the body, the fresh one, the fresh word, not the old manner, whatever the fresh word is, the eagles will gather. The eagles cannot gather to old manner. The eagles cannot gather what has no blood in it. No matter how it is, if you bake it, the eagles won't eat it. Amen. If you roast it, the eagles won't eat it. There must be blood dripping. Hallelujah. There must be blood dripping. If the blood does not drip, the eagles will not accept it. Freshly killed. Two shall be in the field. Two shall be missionaries. Two shall be preachers. Two shall be believers. Amen?
Yes.
The one shall be taken. The other left. Right. People say they believe in God. Amen? Mm. You know, when you overknow, you become foolish. Mm. That's the thing in life.
Right.
Yes. Mm. He says, give your righteousness, and your righteousness disappoints you. Now the prophet had come. The word of God is given to us. In this generation, there is no knowledge that surpasses the knowledge of this age. Hallelujah. In science, same. In politics, same. In military, same. Then, religion is doing hers. But spiritually, when Abraham came, the knowledge he was given surpassed his generation. Yet, he was not educated, but he surpassed it. Put all the preachers together, they were not up to the tip of his finger. But, the people that believed, amen. The people that believed, they have made a shame out of the word that came. It is in this passage that people don't have church they belong to. As against the word of God. It's in this message that people can't love. As against the word of God. It is in this message that people hate. As against the word of God.
Right.
I'm talking to message believers. I'm not talking to outsiders.
Right.
And if we can't tell ourselves the truth, then there's no need for us to stay.
Mm-hmm.
It is in this message that we don't recognize ministry. Oh. Amen.
Amen.
People are taking communions at home. Do you know what it is? Listen. Listen. That God is quiet does not mean he's foolish.
Amen.
And does not tell you that he's weak.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you. In the Old Testament, did you ever see a woman carry a sheep or a lamb, lay on the altar and slaughter for the Lord? Did you ever see that? You never seen that. Now, the woman represents the church.
Right.
And the church is the body. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But Christ had released the authority through the ministry of Paul. The man, Peter, the apostle, whom, if we want to talk about, if we say, okay, let's start believing chief, that they are chief apostles, we will take Peter. Peter never knew the word evangelist. But he was with Jesus.
Right.
Because Jesus never mentioned the word evangelist.
Right.
But when Peter, when Paul came, he explained, because he said this mystery was hidden and was not given to any other before him. He explained the consolation, the price of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One of those prizes is the fivefold ministry. And he said, this is given. He said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. To some he gave apostles, some he gave evangelists, he gave prophets, gave evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Praise the Lord. When he said that, I think Peter should lift up his hand and say, hello, Paul. You know, I was in this message 15 years before you came. I never heard evangelists. So I can't take it. You are not bold enough. You don't have what it takes to believe the now truth. Amen?
Amen.
You don't have it. One has been taken, the other is left.
Right.
Somebody's telling me, oh, Brother Nice, there's nothing that you need anymore.
You just go into the sermon books, you get all. And I read this to him one time, 1963. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let me read this. Maybe you'll find it. He said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? And forever? And do you believe that this light that I speak of, that is the light of the Spirit of God, the same Spirit, the pillar of fire that went through the wilderness with the children of Israel, was made manifest? The same one that came into the prison that night, that light with Simon Peter, that light that opened the door, jail, put him out free. So do you believe that someday he will come in and make us free? Now he's speaking here and he's telling the people, someday he will come and make us free. Now the prophet is not talking about himself, about him being free. He is not part of this thing. He came. Like we said, Matthew chapter 25, verse 5 and 6, supposed to read, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Come ye out. Because the messenger speaks for the Lord. The messenger was not trapped in the confusion. Praise the Lord. Then he said, here he is tonight. He said, I'm come out from among the dead, and trusting him. He is here tonight. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have to take some human philosophy, we have to get a Bible here to speak this. And here is the identity of the church. And here, he said, to give it rapturing faith to be taken away.
Right.
Now, if that rapturing faith, you received it in 1963, what are you doing here?
Right.
For many days and many months and many years, I've been receiving letters and checks, and I'm going to tell you a dream that I had. I've shared that dream only two places, but I have to share that dream here.
Amen.
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 Because I believe. It's what I believe. I don't hide what I believe. I'm not a hypocrite by the grace of God. I believe that the thunders will be seven men. And I received many abuses and many things. Oh, you are following this, you're following that. Bro Richard Gann is a servant of God. God calls him, he knows his testimony. I am a servant of God. God called me, I know my testimony. Amen. And a servant of God does not call another servant. No.
Right.
The Lord calls his people. But if you follow the same star and you're focusing on the star, you know, you're not looking at anyone, there's going to be a collision, a brotherly collision. You understand what I mean?
Right.
Okay. You are coming from that direction, you are coming from that direction, and you want to get to this light. And you're just looking at this light, coming, because your attention, you don't want to miss the light. And that's what happened with the wise men. The wise men never traveled together. They came from different directions.
Right.
Amen. But what brought them together was a star.
Amen.
Many of us are not, we are not born from one family. But what brought us together is the star, is the word, the truth, the light. And Brother Abraham said, it is the same light. Now watch. So I don't miss the point. A few days ago, a brother was writing and fighting over a knife. I can't accept that 7 thunders will be 7 men. I believe what the... Okay, show me what the prophet said differently. No, nothing to show. But a few days ago, he came. And he read me a quote. And then as we stood outside at this mall, what's the name of this mall? Brother, what's the name of the mall?
West Mall.
We stood outside West Mall. Because when we met, I told Brother, I said, Brother, what you have said concerning the Holy Ghost and how you received the Holy Ghost, let it be the beginning of our discussion. Let us know what God will do at the end of our discussion. And at the end of the discussion, hallelujah, he by his power said, I believe that these 7 thunders will be 7 men, but they will be, the prophet will come back and all the 7 church messengers. I said, that's for you. Amen. We never placed people in those 7 thunders.
Right.
All that you have been hearing on the side talks are lies.
Right.
But what we have said is that the 7 thunders will be 7 men.
Amen.
Take it up, take it down. That's what it's going to be. Because it is a ministry. And trees will not rapture you. Trees will not bring faith for you. Animals will not bring faith for you. The land will not bring faith for you. The wind, the air, the fire, the sun will not bring faith for you. It is man that will preach it. I have the quote here, but I will read that later. But let me continue what I'm saying. I had a dream. It was the 4th dream I was having concerning Brother Branham. Before I tell you this one, let me tell you the 3rd one. Because in these 3rd dreams, there are weaknesses. I am in live service right now. Or if it's not live, those who will listen to this message, all over the world they listen. And I'm going to mention names. I was going to Congo to continue to meet, to go to Zambia. And it will be my first time to meet with Brother Andrew Peary. I got the visa and had no money to travel. And we waited. I just said, Lord, I'm not going to ask anyone. I'm going to wait. And the money for the ticket came a day to the expiration of the visa. And Congo, if that visa expires, is gone. It's not like counting from the day you entered. No. So when I got this money, the only means I can travel to meet up that day before 12 noon will be going to South Africa. Very long trip. I left Nigeria, west, came down to South Africa, came back to Congo, which is just 3 hours away from Nigeria. So I crisscrossed the whole of Africa. By the time I entered Congo, they were asking me, you're going to renew this visa on Monday. It was a Saturday, Friday night. Okay? And I was invited to preach in a church. And while I was preaching, not knowing whatever was the condition of the church, and that's it. Preachers should keep their minds open. Praise the Lord. I don't like to hear things. Amen. Not knowing the condition of the church, I spoke and I hid certain things, and the pastor and his elders were not happy. They threw me out. They had my passport to go on next day, Monday, to renew the visa. They threw back the passport and gave to me, said, we are done with you. You cannot kick against polygamy. Oh. Happily, I took my bag, took the passport, put it in my pocket, and started walking on the street. Because I have no place to stay. Then I will just walk up, maybe go to report myself to the police and see what they can do. But a brother came up and beckoned me, said, Brother Nice, I'm sorry for what they did, but I cannot stay there also because I believe what you are saying. And that's Brother Bito. Mm-hmm. May God bless him.
Amen.
So he said, come to my house. I said, Brother, I don't want to put problems between you and the church. I never want to do that. He said, come to my house.
We got to his house. I was given a place to sleep. In fact, the wife, they had just a room or two rooms. The children, all girls, stayed in one of the rooms. The husband and wife stayed in one. And so the wife said, I'm going to stay with the girls. I want you to share. I said, no, I can't do that. I said, no, brother, please. So we slept there. In the night, I had this vision. I saw myself doing the African pounding. You know, when we are,
yes,
we do pounding of yams and leaves and things. Amen. It's easier than the machine. Amen. So I was pounding, and a hand touched me to the right. But when I turned, I didn't see anyone. I turned to this other side. Hey, to spread the prayer. The same way I saw him the first time that separated me from the denomination. And I kind of mesmerized because I wanted to, I don't know what to call him, whether Brother Abraham or whether prophet or whether papa or whatever, you know, something. So he didn't care. He just said to me, I heard you are going to Zambia. Now there's no hope. We're talking about even getting the ticket now just to, because I have the ticket back to go back home. So it's just to go to the police and beg them if they can say, okay, just if you can change the ticket and fly now, we'll forgive you. We'll not arrest you. So the only way was going back. And here in the vision, he said, I heard you are going to Zambia. He said, in the dream, I will go with you and I will preach. I will preach alone. Then he put some leaves into the thing I was pounding into the mortar. And I asked him, Brother Abraham, what is this for? He said, it's for the healing of cancer. And I continued to pound. Then the scene of the vision changed. I've written this vision out. The scene of the vision changed. Here now, we arrived in Zambia. I have never been to Zambia. It was my first time that I'm going to Zambia. I didn't know how the church of Brother Piri looks like. And here we were in a school. And at the entrance of the school, a very ferocious lion was shaking. But Brother Brown put me on this side of the lion. And then I told him, I said, no, Brother Brown, you're supposed to be here because you can deal, you know, your testimony, you can deal with lions. He said, no, you be there. So I said, he said, calm down, open your eyes. Then I said, I've opened my eyes, I'm not seeing anything. He said, he pointed, look at the chains. Now the chain I saw is such that was heavier than the lion. It's such that's supposed to be used for the sheep, for, you know, the anchor chain. That was used for this lion, both neck and underarm and under shoulder, just like that. And then he said, he can't touch you. He's chained, but he could be making this noise. Then we passed by. But I actually closed my eyes because I didn't want that lion to touch me. The next thing was that we were in a classroom. And Brother Brown was preaching the message, Broken System. Mm-hmm. Can't forget that. Right. And as he preached, then he started descending. And he prayed for people. Six were healed of cancer. And I woke up. Now when I woke up, the brother, Victor, was already seated. He's alive. He's alive. He was already seated. He was asking, said, very nice. Which lion? Which leaf? What cancer? So he, I didn't know, maybe I was talking. And then he woke up and then he sat down and he could. Now, if that hadn't happened, maybe the way I also woke up, I would have forgotten the dream. So he helped us, and then I recalled. And I told him, yes. He said, you saw Brother Brown. I said, yes. You know, really, the Congolese are crazy about those things. Oh, you saw Brother Brown. Then they will shake you with both hands. So, then he said to me, tell me this dream. I told him he was writing it down. Then he said, Brother Nice, it is something, it's one thing to dream. It's another thing for the dream to be true. Then I said, well, I don't know, it's just a dream. And you helped me when I said, okay, now, if this dream is true, God will make it way. Because tomorrow, today is Monday. It's about 4 a.m. now, it's Monday. If you don't get any way out, the police, when they catch you, you're in trouble. Then I said, okay. You waited there. For God, who sees and knows the secret of all men, 15 minutes later, 4 a.m., you're still on your bed. You're still supposed to be sleeping.
15 minutes later, a strange call came on his phone. He didn't know the number. He picked the call. It was the voice of Pastor Yves Kalumbo, who was on holiday in another country. He had had a dream. And the brother was asking him, do you remember this brother that came to us some years and came with one brother Gan and things? We were together in Oregon in that same country and were rejected. Yes. We preached the Bible and they came, somebody came and stood there and said, he told the people by intimidation. Do we need the Bible? Do we need the Bible? And the people said, no. So we don't need the Bible. And I told Brother Gan, I said, stay close because for me, I'm black skinned. I will not fit into their pot. So, yeah, because they could start eating you. If they can do that. If they don't need the Bible, then they don't need us.
Right.
So, that brother, he called that early morning and said, do you know about that brother? Brother Nice. He said, yes, I know him. What about him? He said, I had a dream about him just this morning. The dream woke me up. Can you give me his contact? He said, brother, that person you are talking about is just right here before me. And the brother said, no, brother preacher, please. I'm not joking. He said, please, brother. I said, hear his voice. He gave me the phone. Hello, brother. He said, do you remember me? I'm Brother Yves Kalumbo. I said, I remember you. The tallest preacher I've ever seen. Can't forget. Yeah, because very tall man.
Yeah.
And then he said, Brother Nice, just give the phone back to Brother Vitor. He didn't tell me anything. And what he told Brother Vitor, I said, hold him until I come. I'm on my way now. By 2 p.m., he was already in Kinshasa. He came, he said, Brother Nice, the Lord ministered to me, I could not rest. Where is your passport? I never told him anything. He took the passport, went, delivered it. The next day, the passport came back with double entry. He gave me $2,000 for the trip in Zambia. Now, when I got to Zambia, the church of Rapiri was in a school. Was in a classroom. And then I begin to say, now, something. This had happened. I encountered the ferocious lion in a man called Tatangimbu. Yes. You can read that testimony online. Just killed many people. He had killed many people. He was baptized. I baptized him. Manifested like a crocodile. God delivered him and delivered his wife. Then, final one is, where are the six? Because in that vision, after Brother Brown had preached, six people were healed of cancer. I was studying that message, broken system, and I got some messages from that to preach. And God confirmed it. Brother Pierce are there. A woman was taken for operation of cancer in South Africa. She came back. The thing was not okay. She could not walk from this point to that, to the door there, in 30 minutes. She was standing there with her beads while I was praying. As I prayed for her, I was closing my eyes. I never took notice. Her beads fell. And for the first time, she bent down to pick the beads. And then she deliberately dropped it herself, according to her. Because she never bent down. And she bent down and picked it. And then she tapped me, because while I was still praying, she tapped me. That I'm well. Then I prayed for her and I told her, go and eat what you have not eaten all these days. And she went home and ate that evening and she was okay. Six women healed miraculously, and a particular man. There were five women and a particular man who had cancer in the jaw. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, if that came true, why should I doubt this other one?
Wow.
Now, let me tell you this one. I was walking in the street. I was walking in the street, and a particular one said to me, Brother Nice, what are you doing here? Your prophet is in that uncompleted building, and the ministers of your locality are with him. Then I said, oh, I never knew that. So I went. When I got there, so all the ministers in my community, yes, I recognized all of them. How they were talking and quarreling, these ones were hitting themselves, these were punching themselves, they were trying to, everybody was talking to at the same time, and there were two seats, two chairs. He sat on one.
So I came, excuse me. How they gave the chance, I don't know. I just came, found my way, and I stood there. And when I came to the front, everyone that were fighting against themselves, they stopped. I became the subject. Yes, Abraham, this is the one. He also believes that the thunders are seven men. And, now, this was a case of life and death. So, I turned to Brother Brown, and I said, Brother Brown, if I am wrong, I don't want to believe error. Correct me now in the presence of these men, so that I will know and I will apologize. He looked at me. He never said a word. The only thing he did was he stood up, held my hand, and walked away. They were still arguing. Then I said, I was disappointed. I said, Brother Brown, please, why didn't you correct me in the presence of those men? If you tell me anything now, I tell them they will not believe me. You know what he said to me? The only thing he said, he turned to me. He said, be focused. No one preaches from the grave. And I woke up. God is my witness. Who is going to judge our secrets when that day comes? That's what he told me. From that day, I became wild. So I went to the U.S. after many years. And I saw people hanging photographs of Brother Brown, pillar of fire, idolaters.
Right.
If that is in Brown's tabernacle, that is Brown's tabernacle.
Right.
It is the museum of the end time believers.
Right.
It's allowed there. But don't duplicate Brown's tabernacle. The prophet came because God did something in Jeffersonville, Indiana, that particular town where Brother Brown was raised and preached. God did it so much that civilization did not enter more than what it was in the days of Brother Brown, so that people will not erase the memory of the prophet. Hallelujah! That's the respect that God has given to his servants. But when you now begin to build Jeffersonville in your town, in Singapore, in Nigeria, in Congo, it is idolatry.
Amen.
And when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. There's not a time that the fivefold ministry is needed than this time.
Right.
Amen. Are you following me? Secret translations, whereby we are removed from a spiritual kingdom of confusion, darkness,
right,
and translated into the kingdom of light. And where there is light, there is no darkness. There is no tradition. There is no religion. There is nothing that casts shadows. Hallelujah. Nothing that casts shadows. In the kingdom of light, there is nothing that casts shadows. It means that we are in the present truth. And that present truth does not wound. No. The present truth is not, as you think, does not wound where we are coming from. Without the prophet, we will not be here. In terms of wisdom and knowledge and the light of the world, of the day. But when we now come and now we throw away the Bible, that's what we are saying. To believe the Bible is not just to pull it. It's to do that which is written in it. How do we break bread? I see people don't fellowship together and they take the same communion. That is hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't discern the body of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I see people don't agree concerning certain things. Majorly, they don't agree on the Godhead. And then they fellowship by breaking that bread together. No. It's a different thing if we have a meeting and people are just attending just to visit. But you have to believe the word of God to be able to break the bread with the believers. Or else it is something else. And God is not in hide and seek. Saints of God, so that I can let you go for lunch. We come back and we finish this message.
Amen.
Looking at, because I've not made those examples yet, those fragments. We just only picked one. We're going to pick some other ones and then get to the Thomas. But I want to tell you something. As you go out, allow the Lord deal with you. Let us leave sentiments alone. The thing is, your mind does not die with you. That's one thing. Your mind, you see, what the mind does? The mind is one thing, but it has some contents. The contents that is cast into your mind to confuse you and take you away from the truth, take you away from reality, that particular confusion does not die with you. So we must separate ourselves from fleshly lust and fleshly rights and keep to the word of God. There is only one God and there is only one truth. And that truth is a continuum. It does not stop. The day it stops, it becomes a religion. May the Lord bless us in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. We pray that your grace be our portion. We know, Lord, that it is a tough time to live in. But even your servant, the prophet, desired to be in such and such a time. And Lord, there are yet programs laid out for us as we, in this shaky moment, we are travailing to be perfected. I pray, Lord, that your grace and power will touch as many that have heard this word and that will hear even after now in different countries and continents, because there's a lot of confusion and people are afraid to stand up for the truth. They are afraid of what people will say. They are afraid of left and right. But the word of God is the absolute. And this word of God is not anything that can be interpreted by man's wisdom. We pray, let your Holy Spirit take total preeminence. Thank you for your word this hour. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Shalom.
Amen. Wonderful. You can say amen to the word.
Amen.